I'm going to be over in Mark, the 11th chapter, if you want to turn over there with me this morning. And I want you to pay close attention to what I'm getting ready to read you this morning. Mark 11, 12, and 14. I'm going to be there, and then I'm going to drop down a little bit. This is very familiar scripture to some people, probably. But I want you to pay very close attention to this. You know what? You want to know why? Because this is Jesus' only miracle that he performed that resulted in destruction. That resulted in something bad happening. Did you know that? This is the only one. And I want to go over this a little bit with you this morning because I feel it's something that the Lord impressed upon me. But anyway, let's read it here. I'm going to read verses 12 and 14. Then I'm going to drop down and read verses 19 and 21, Mark chapter 11. Mark 11, beginning with verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. This is talking about Jesus. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, that's to the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And this his disciples heard it. Drop down to verse 19 in the same chapter. And when even was come, the evening had come, he went out of that day. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. Now, again, I want you to pay attention to this. And if I'm right, I could not find, you guys are better Bible scholars, but I could not find anything else in the Bible where Jesus performed a miracle where it ended up in something being destructed like this. Let us pray. Fathers, we come, Lord, this morning. I come, Lord, with thanksgiving in my heart, Lord. I want to praise you. I want to give you the glory that you so rightly deserved. Father, you are so good to us. Father, you have blessed us so much. And Father, I just give you the praise. I give you the glory this morning. I pray, Lord, for the message this morning, that it would go out the way that you would have it. And Lord, we will give you the glory for that as well. Anoint my lips this morning, anoint the rest of this service. And Father, we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen, and amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Jesus had healed the sick. Jesus had raised the dead. Jesus had turned water into wine. Jesus walked on the water. Jesus calmed the stormy seas. And we can just go on and on and on what Jesus did. But here, he cursed a fig tree because it didn't produce fruit. Now, if you go out there and you look at and read this, all the commentaries that I could find on this, there were two different type of fig trees over in that part of the country. One produced fruit early, one produced fruit late in the year. This one here was an early producing tree, but it was still a month before they should have produced fruit on them. So what had happened was, here we are, and think about this. Now, why would Jesus curse this fig tree? Here was the Son of God, here was God incarnate, who for 40 days and 40 nights fasted. He didn't need no food. He fasted for 40 days, right? He fasted. But he curses this fig tree because he comes along in the morning and he's wanting breakfast and he's hungry. But there's nothing on it. They tell me that this was a month before this fig tree should have had anything on it in that time of year over there. And plus, if you know anything about the fig trees, whenever a fig tree has leaves on it, the fruit has already been on the fig tree. That's, if you know anything about them, we don't raise fig trees around here, so I had to look this stuff up. But as I did, as I looked it up, it said, by the time that the fig tree has the leaves on it, the fruit should have already been on it. Here was a tree that had produced its leaves a month before it should have, but yet there's no fruit on it. And here comes Jesus along, and they're saying it's probably one that wasn't on personal property. It was probably just alongside the road. And Jesus hungered, and he was getting... And then he curses, and we could look at it this way. He curses an innocent fig tree, right? He curses it because there was no breakfast on it for him. This is the only time that I've ever seen in the Bible, and you guys correct me if I'm wrong, where this has ever happened, where Jesus did a miracle that it actually destroyed something. My point is, he was getting a point across. And I want to get to that here this morning if we can. He was using this as a picture of Israel. It had the appearance of life. It had the appearance of life, but it produced nothing of substance. Nothing. That's what Israel did. Israel had every form of religion you could imagine. The leaders had vain enthusiasm. They kept all the holy days. They kept the holidays. They kept all the rituals. They dotted every I and they crossed every T. If you really wanted to think about it, they had religion down pat. Can I have an amen? They had religion down pat. But they were completely empty of repentance. I liked what the scripture that we read this morning that we were taught at about the Pharisee, that how he stood in the temple, had Jason taught, and how he pointed out this other guy sinned. But you know what? If we would have been there, he would have done the same thing to us as well. He would have pointed out just how bad we were because he was good. This was Israel. But they were completely empty of repentance. In other words, they had a beautiful religious setup. But that's all it was a beautiful religious setup. Completely empty of faith. Completely empty of righteousness. They had plenty of formalities, but they didn't have any substance to go with it. I mean, that's a sad set of affairs. Am I right? That's a sad set of affairs if you really think about it. And Jesus, knowing their heart, condemned it. He just like he was this tree, he condemned it. He left just as he left the fig tree whenever he was under, he left it under a curse. And we know that it wasn't too many years after this where the Romans come in, first off, and they destroyed Jerusalem. They just totally destroyed Jerusalem. It was like about 70 AD they come in and did that. And they left that curse on it. And he left that kind of religious hypocrisy, if you really want to think about it, under a curse as well. That goes on even to this day. I'm telling you, God does not like hypocrisy in his worship. Can I have an amen to that? He wants us to do what? Worship in what? Spirit and in truth. That's what he wants. That's exactly what. Folks, religion in and of itself may look beautiful on the outside. Their religion in itself looks great if you're looking on it from the outside. You got religious organizations that can cross every dot every I and they can cross every T. Everything looks perfect if you look on it from the outside. But when you get onto the inside of it, that's where the trouble starts. And that's what was going on here. But religion produces by man's labor is just as empty and worthless as a fig tree that produces its leaves but doesn't have any fruit on it. Doesn't have any fruit whatsoever. Religion will never save anyone. I want to get that across. I've said that. I've said that here 100 times, but I'm here to tell you, religion will never save a soul. Never. It takes the Holy Spirit, it takes the Holy Spirit coming in and convicting a soul, then it takes that individual coming to an altar and laying everything on that altar, and Jesus Christ coming in by his shed blood, coming into their lives and saving their lives, and the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. That's what it takes. Listen, but religion produced by man will never do that. God is looking, I want you to understand this, God is looking for fruit, not leaves. Amen? He's looking for fruit. He's not looking for leaves. God is looking for fruit, not leaves. In John 15:4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of what? Itself. Except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye, you, abide in who? In me. Praise the Lord. That's what His Word says. And it goes on to say in John 15:6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch which is withered, and man gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are what? They are burned. Anyone can look the part. Anyone can talk a good game. Anyone can dot the I's and cross the T's. But if the Holy Spirit isn't there, it is done in vain. In vain. John also says in 15, 1 and 2, I am the true vine, and in my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth what? More fruit. More fruit. Listen, you may think you're a pretty good Christian today. I mean, in praise, and I'm hoping and praying that you are. But I'm telling you something. God can prune you even more, and He can get a lot more out of you. You may think that you're doing a bunch today, but can I tell you something? He can do the pruning, and you can get a lot more out of you. Not me, not anybody else in this church. I'm talking about God can do the pruning. Have you ever suckered a tomato? How many of you have ever done that in here? Buddy, I try sometimes. I think I just butcher them. But I try to suck. Tell me why you sucker a tomato. You get bigger fruit, don't you? That's why you do it. You get bigger tomatoes if you do that. That's why you sucker them. You get bigger because they draw the nutrients from the rest of the tomato plant. That's why you do it. You want the nutrients to get to where the work is getting done, where the tomatoes are getting done. There are times God does the pruning to you and me. He'll do the pruning to a church once in a while. He does the pruning to a nation once in a while. God will do the pruning sometimes because He wants to get the fruit out of what's there. Can I have an amen? Amen. To allow for growth. And there are times the Bible tells us this, like the parable of the tares and the wheat. What's it say God does? God will allow things to stay as they are, a church to stay as they are, an individual to stay as they are, not to suffer much damage to anything else. Listen to Matthew 13. But he said, nay, lest while we gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reaper, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat unto my barn. Sometimes God lets things stay the way they are. You may say, well, why is that? Because He doesn't want to disrupt something else that He's got a plan for. Amen? He doesn't want to disrupt something else that He's got a plan for. So sometimes we can look at things and we can say, God, why do you let this happen? Why are you letting this happen? It's because He's got a plan. He's looking at things way up there, looking down on things, and we're only looking at things down here. He sees the overall big picture. Don't fool yourselves or be fooled by anyone because we are fruit inspectors. You know, we hear all the time, oh, you can't judge. We are fruit inspectors. Matthew 15, 7, 15 and 20 tells us this. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their what?
fruits.
Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits you shall know them. You shall know them. We as Christians, our spirit should bear witness with somebody else's spirit. I'm not standing up here bragging to you, but I can tell whenever something's being done in somebody's spirit and when something's being done of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit of God will show you. It will show you. It's not that you stand up here and think that you're some kind of spiritual giant. That's not what it is. It's not nothing except that the Holy Spirit can show you what's going on. It's not that I'm up here, not that Tink punches me in the side and says, hey, did you see that? I know what it is. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they do what? Follow me. My sheep hear my voice. What's the voice? That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. Romans 8:16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Where there is no spiritual fruit produced, there is no spiritual life. I'm going to say it again. Where there is no spiritual fruit produced, there is no spiritual life. None. And I believe this as Christians. We know, we feel it when something is not right. I'm just telling you, I know that. We know it. James 3:12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs, so can no fountain bring forth what? Salt water and fresh water. You can't. It's physically impossible for someone to bring forth fruits of the Spirit and not fruits of the Spirit. It's impossible to do it. You can't. Adam used fig trees to do what? Adam and Eve did use fig leaves to cover their shame. Did they not? They did. They did that. And listen, it is the will of God that we be fruitful and have faith in Him. That is the will of God. That's what He do. And we need to remember that a tree is known by its fruits. And if God can't find fruit on that tree will wither. It will wither. But just like rain that helps, we have two rain barrels down at the house. And what we've been doing, we let them fill up. And they fill up fast here in the last. But we take that rainwater and we water things with it. You don't know how much better it is with rainwater than it is with city water. Amen? It's awesome. I've got a peach tree that I got from my mom's that my stepfather had raised. He'd had a bunch of them up here on top by the chicken house up here. I got it down there and I dug it at the wrong time of year, Belinda. I dug it when you should not dig it. I said, Lord, this is going to be with you and me. I planted that tree, and that thing's come out of it. It's got leaves on it, and I keep watering it with that rainwater. I'm here to tell you, God is good. He is merciful. His grace endures. You may think you're here this morning, and you're just a leaf without any fruit on you. But can I tell you, His mercy endures forever. He loves you, and He will rain down upon you, and He will bring you out of that if you are willing to repent and let Him come and do the work in your life. Amen. He'll do that. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. God's grace and His mercy combined with our repentance can cause our spiritual trees to rebound. He can cause it to produce fruit again. It can cause it. Now let me ask everyone here this morning, do you have a lot of leaves but no fruit? Do you have that? That's not for me. I can look upon a bunch of smiling faces this morning. And I do. And I love everybody in here. I hope you know that. I really, and honestly, my heart, I'm not standing up here saying anything that I don't believe. I love every one of you with a true heart and with a true spirit. But I do not know your soul. I don't know where you're at this morning. But you do. And you know if you're all show and no go. You know that. You know if you've got a bunch of leaves on you and you haven't produced fruit in years. And spiritually speaking, are you the best looking tree in the church? Spiritually speaking? In your community, even in your family? Everyone thinks highly of you. Can I tell you something? Lord, okay, I'm going to say this. If people come to you and ask you to pray for them all the time, they come to you and ask you about Scripture all the time, but you know in your heart you're all leaves and no fruit. You think about it for a minute. I don't know your heart, but you do. Lord had put that upon me. I said, thank you, Lord. I want to know something this morning. You know, deep inside, it's been a while since you produced fruit. Been deep in your heart, it's been a while since you felt the Spirit of God move in your life. You feel like the Pharisees that Jesus talked about over in Matthew 23. You are likened to whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of what? Dead man's bones. How are you feeling this morning? How do you feel about that this morning? Well, Dave, I don't know. Come this morning, just like David said in Psalms 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore it. Man alive, we don't have to walk with our heads down. He said he can restore. What do you do when you restore a car? You take it, you bring it back to life. Amen? Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He can bring you back to life. But what will everyone think if I go to the altar? You may be thinking that here this morning. I don't care what anybody thinks. You shouldn't care what anybody thinks. Do not be more worried about the outward appearance than the inward appearance. Don't let the devil deceive you like that. Get it right. Don't be like the fig tree. They saw the fig tree dry up from what? The roots up. The roots were the life where the tree come from. Amen? That's where it comes from. And God is long-suffering. God is merciful. 2 Peter 3:9 says this. He's not willing that any should perish. He didn't want anybody to perish. That they all should come to repentance. Also, remember this scripture in Luke 13, 6 and 9. I'm going to be closing here in a minute. And he spake this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. And he said unto the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree and found none. He said, cut it down. Why cumbers the ground? Why do you keeping this tree out there that's taking up nutrients? Cut it down, he said. And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also. That'll make 4 years. Till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit well, if not, then thereafter thou shalt cut it down. You don't think God isn't merciful? I hope and pray I never go 4 years without feeling the Spirit. And I hope you don't either. But I'm telling you, God's merciful. He'll dung you. He'll do whatever it takes to try to get you to where you know and feel what's going on in your life. He'll do it. But brothers and sisters, God's also merciful, but God also is a God of judgment. Belinda, come get a song this morning, please. As they get a song, if you're here this morning in the service to God, are you like the fig tree that has all kind of leaves, but you don't bear no fruit? Can God take care of that this morning? Amen. Absolutely. God can take care of that this morning. He can take care of that. This altar, I don't see any obstacles up here. I don't see a one, do you? There's nothing. If he's dealing with you this morning, you come up here, and I guarantee there won't be nobody making fun of you. There won't be nobody thinking badly of you. No one. Because you know what? I think as saints, we want what's the best for everybody. We should.